Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. While you're at it, make sure you enable notifications so every time a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast goes live, you get notified right away. While you're at it, if you're sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop. Just don't do it anymore. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. You get to create a wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shout-outs like Harold in St. Louis, Mike in Lansdale, then go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. Don't forget loyalty rewards. Any $15 a month contributor gets to co-host an episode of Going Live with me, and our $7.50 a month contributors get entered into a drawing to also co-host an episode of our live shows. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. If you have questions, you have comments, things you want us to talk about in a future episode, don't hesitate to call in to the Fro Wrestling Sound Off Line 267-642-1160. You can give us your questions, your comments, anything you want us to discuss in a talk-to-text service. That's right. You talk, it texts your message to us, and we can try to get to as many of them as we can in a future episode. If you tune in during one of our live shows, make sure you enable the chat function, whatever streaming service you're using, so you can get involved in the show live. Whichever way you contact us, make sure you tell us who you are so we can give you credit for your contribution to the show while we're on recording an episode. Don't forget, if you're new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, go to our homepage, FroWrestling.com, and preview the topics coming to the Fro Wrestling Podcast. It's a great way to come up with your questions, your comments. It's also a great place where you can find local independent wrestling shows coming to an area near you by clicking on in the Indie Events tab at the top of the page. Or if you want to check out some of our editorial pieces, our own articles that we've written, go to my blog at Infro's Corner on the other tab at the top of the page and check out and see what we have in store for you guys. Tonight, the episode is kind of packed. We have so much that goes on this time of year. We're on the road to WrestleMania. So many things happen, and things seem to be spinning out of control. Questions keep popping up. I've been answering a lot of them through the email service and whatnot, but people don't understand what's going on with Dean Ambrose. Some people are saying he's staying. Other people say, no, he's definitely leaving. As a matter of fact, Brian Alvarez today came out and said he's absolutely leaving. Last night on Raw, they acknowledged the fact that he was not renewing his contract and that he was leaving. Even Renee Young said he's going on to greener pastures. And I get it. If you've already put out like almost like the equivalent of the farewell statement back in January when the news first broke, I understand why you would run with that, because there's actually an opportunity to capitalize on excitement if he doesn't leave or if he just takes a short time off. I still am of the opinion that he's looking to take some time off, you know, recharge the batteries, give creative time to come up with something really interesting for him to do. Let's face it, this Shield thing has been done to death. Feuding with Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns has been done to death. He has done everything that he could conceivably do right now. The WWE creative team really needs some time to figure out what they're going to do with Ambrose going forward. And I think that requires him to go away for a little while. Now, if I was him, I would negotiate with WWE a contract that allowed me to stay contracted and take a downside guarantee while away from the company, much in the way that sounds like Ronda Rousey is going to be retained. And then they would be able to bring him back when they have something that he's ready to work with, and he could be a huge pop to the ratings, hopefully at a future time. Unfortunately, it looks like he's legitimately just going to walk away from the business for a while. Now, there are those who still think he's going to show up in All Elite Wrestling. Some people think he may even give a whirl to Impact Wrestling, where he has a history from the past. But in my personal gut instinct is telling me that he's going to walk away from WWE, take some time away, and that he will be back at some point in the future. I know he is friends with Chris Jericho. I know he gets along with Cody, and I know those are opportunities for him at All Elite Wrestling, but All Elite Wrestling is trying to lock people into long-term contracts that I don't know that he really wants to do right now. I think he really needs some time to just get creative with what he's doing. Other news this week, Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch, last week, early into this week, their Twitter war has been going on where they've been arguing back and forth. Things almost came to almost like a shoot level where it sounded like, you know, the trash talking on Twitter between wrestling superstars typically is a part of a storyline. But it seemed to get really personal when Becky Lynch took a shot at Ronda Rousey's husband. And when that happened, it seemed like the tone of the conversation went from being, you know, glorified promos to being a full-on attack at Becky Lynch, and almost in a threatening manner. I don't know if that was planned that way or if that's something that came about because of Ronda Rousey actually taking offense to what Becky was saying. But I think that in the long run, when you look at it, Becky Lynch has a lot of experience. For those who don't know, I mean, she's been wrestling for, you know, 8 to 10 years already, despite the fact that she only got to WWE a few years ago. So she kind of knows the ins and outs of the wrestling business, what you can and can't say. Ronda Rousey's still kind of new to the business and doesn't realize sometimes what you do to attract the heat that everybody wants for the heel or how to get over as a babyface. And I think that has come into play here. Because I don't think Ronda Rousey is actually looking to stir bad blood and assault Becky Lynch at Mania or anything like that. I think what we're looking at here is that Ronda Rousey lost her cool because, you know, Becky Lynch started talking about Travis Brown, Ronda Rousey's husband. So interesting that that's going on. I love that they flipped her as a heel on Monday night. I hate the storyline leading into a triple threat, but I think we all knew that was coming. But at this point, what we really need to look at is what is Ronda Rousey doing after WrestleMania? Because she is booked for Mania. She's booked for the Raw after Mania. She's under contract for quite a while afterwards. But the word on the street, Ryan Satin and Brian Alvarez both stating that it looks like she is indeed scheduled to leave WWE after the Raw following WrestleMania. Not that she'll be giving up her contract, but she won't be making an appearance. She wants to take some time away, potentially start a family. And, you know, that's tough. You know, the Bellas, Brie Bella, you know, went away for a while, came back after having a baby. I know there was conversation about Maria Kanellis came back after having a child. And they were talking about some other talents. Maryse possibly coming back now. She's having another one. So you have to wonder what Ronda Rousey's mentality will be like after having a child, if indeed that is what she ends up going off and doing. So keeping our eyes on the Rousey situation, she's one of the biggest draws, no matter how many people. And look, I am located in the Philadelphia marketplace, the site of Raw last night. And I can tell you there were a lot of people online and in various outlets just bashing the heck out of Ronda Rousey. She's not talented. She can't use the mic. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's still so green. And I get all of that, but that's not what she was ever signed to be. She wasn't signed to be the Rock on the mic. She wasn't signed to be a technician like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. She was signed to be a big name who had a legit mixed martial arts background and who really let her ring work do her talking. It wasn't ever meant for her to be a big talker. So, you know, I understand her promo on Raw last night was a bit overplayed and came off being very generic. But at the same time, it did what it was supposed to do. It set her up to be a heel. I think at a later time, if she does not start the family, I think this plays really well for her to have that four horsewoman versus four horsewoman match, possibly at SummerSlam. If not, I would definitely expect them to think about doing it for the Survivor Series. I think it makes a lot of sense. Other news tidbits this week. Big plans for the match at Fastlane were announced last night. The reunified Shield versus Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. I don't really understand what's going on with this. The three of them originally were attacking Braun Strowman back in October, November, and then they separated. Lashley became IC champion. Corbin went off on his own thing, losing the general manager job. All these things that keep happening. And it's for some reason, they just keep putting them back together. And then when you factor into the equation the fact that they turned Dean Ambrose heel on, of all nights, the night that Roman Reigns announced that he was leaving the business because of his leukemia, for them to reunite him the night that he comes back seems so hokey and overdone and ridiculous. And to be perfectly honest with you, we don't need the Shield right now. Roman Reigns, in a weird way, was kind of getting over organically because of the leukemia. He doesn't need the Shield. Seth Rollins is the man who's going to slay the beast. He doesn't need the Shield. And Dean Ambrose is leaving the company. Why would you put effort into Dean Ambrose when he's leaving? I'm not trying to trash talk Dean Ambrose. I think he's one an incredible talent. But it doesn't make a lot of sense. But now we're going to have this six-man tag team match at Fastlane. It really does nothing for me. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this type of match has been done to death. Yeah, I'm sure the The Shield will probably come out on top. There's actually plans for them to have some matches after WrestleMania leading right up to when Ambrose is supposed to leave. So I suspect, I know plans can always change, but I suspect Ambrose, you know, stays with the group all the way up until his departure. But I just don't see why this match is being promoted so heavily. It really feels like bad booking. Everybody figured out last week that the Hardy Boys, Matt Hardy, returned to SmackDown, reunited with his brother Jeff, and people have been asking questions like, what's going on with the contracts? The Hardy Boys had an option for another year on their contract with WWE, and, you know, Matt Hardy had gone online and made reference to the fact that he only had like 11, 12 days left on his contract. Well, WWE exercised the additional year on their contracts, and the rumor is they may actually have signed extensions for their contracts, keeping them with WWE for the foreseeable future, which I think is a good thing. Let's face it. Jeff Hardy, great singles wrestler, not going to be world champion ever again. Giving him a secondary title really doesn't do anything. At this point, the Hardys have done pretty much everything they're going to do in the independent, like, wrestling as singles. Matt Hardy never really got over as a world champion contender to begin with. Their ECW championship really doesn't count. It's really nothing. The Impact Wrestling Championship that he held, that's cool, but WWE will never acknowledge it anyway, so that doesn't really factor into the equation very much. So then you look at the Hardys and say, well, what are they going forward? And what they are is a tag team looking to prove that they're the greatest tag team in the history of the business, and I'm okay with that. I'm not saying I necessarily agree that they're the best tag team in history, but I like that that's an angle you could play. I saw on Twitter today, Big E was out there talking about how he and Xavier Woods would like to wrestle the Hardy Boys at WrestleMania if Kofi Kingston gets his match for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. I think that would be a great idea. He said he would love to see all three of them standing in the ring at the end of the night celebrating with all three championship belts. I would love that. I've said that on previous episodes. I think it would be perfect for the New Day. It's a little bit different layer for the New Day, and I would turn them heel in the process so they can protect those championships a lot like, you know, the Horsemen did back in the 80s. I think that's something that, that wrestling in general, I shouldn't just say WWE, but wrestling in general kind of has lost, is the way that teams can protect the championships, get themselves disqualified, schmas endings, run-ins to generate real heat. And then your baby faces that come in and defeat those guys are over even more. I think it's a lost art form. WWE creative has no idea how to make that happen anymore. And let's face it, a big part of that is back in the 80s, the bookers were former wrestling talents. They understood the business. Now, if you go to WWE's corporate website and see what the job description is for a writer, you got to have soap opera experience and writing for television network programs and all this. That has nothing to do with understanding the nuances of professional wrestling. So, a little weird for me. There's some other rumored names for the Hall of Fame. Torrey Wilson announced this week. It's rumored that Brutus the Barber Beefcake is going to be going in. I've already heard that Taz might be going in. The Hart Foundation, possibly. We're waiting to hear who each one of these inductees is. We know D-Generation X is going in as the headliner, which is fine. My concern is, and this is something that's kind of driving me nuts, people want to debate the merits of different people going in. For example, the Honky Tonk Man going in. The guy is the longest running Intercontinental Champion in history. I know that's been said to death, but it's the truth. And not only was he the longest running Intercontinental Champion, he was a great heel. People genuinely hated the Honky Tonk Man because he was so arrogant and didn't seem like he was the best technician, which I will tell you, if you ask anybody at a convention who ever wrestled the Honky Tonk Man, they will tell you quite differently. They'll tell you he was a fantastic performer, had great skills, and if you look at his matches, he knew how to work a crowd. I think the Honky Tonk Man is absolutely deserving of being in. I actually saw a video, an interview with him earlier this week where he was talking about Macho Man Randy Savage and how a lot of people don't realize that everybody gives him so much attention for being the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, but that he held the title only a matter of days longer than Randy Savage's Intercontinental title reign. And that in a lot of ways, Randy Savage, because of the way he defended about whether he was heel or not, was a much more technically sound, in-ring skilled method of wrestling, whereas the Honky Tonk Man was that, you know, that scared heel who would get himself disqualified, hit people with guitars, protected by Jimmy Hart's megaphone or the Hart Foundation and things like that, and that he actually thinks that the Macho Man is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. It's funny because in the same interview, he makes fun of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for being upset for having to drop the title to him. But whatever, to each his own. But I think Honky Tonk Man is absolutely qualified to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, the one that I'm having a tough time with, and don't get me wrong, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon bashing Torrey Wilson. I think she, at some point, would probably get in because, and people have to understand this, you cannot compare Torrey Wilson to the golden age of wrestling with people like the Fabulous Moolah or Wendy Richter. They're not comparable. Back then, the for lack of better terms, the sex appeal was not the same as it was during Torrey Wilson's run. Likewise, now in 2019, you have a lot of female talents that really can wrestle. I mean, they got legitimate, like I said it earlier, like Ricky Steamboat quality skill. And that is also not comparable. Torrey Wilson, during the time that she performed, was supposed to be essentially the eye candy for WWE television. She had some great matches. She had some absolutely terrible matches. But in the end, she filled the role that that era of women's wrestling required. Now, here's the issue for me. There are many other women who deserve to be in long before she gets in. And if you're even going the same era, I think Victoria belongs to get in before Torrey Wilson. There's a lot of others. Luna Vachon, I think, should have an opportunity. Even though she was never the WWE Women's Champion, her impact on the sport, I think, is big enough that she should be considered. Leilani Kai, I think, should be an absolute shoo-in. Judy Martin, you know, the Glamour Girls, or individually, I'm fine with either one of those. Bull Nakano, different women wrestlers that really brought it at a time when I think they weren't as appreciated as they probably should have been. Those people really do deserve to get in before Torrey Wilson. However, if you're looking at people who've gone in recently, Beth Phoenix and others like that, it really isn't a prerequisite that you be better than all those other people I just mentioned or anybody else you can think of. What it was a prerequisite was you were an excellent entertainer during your period, and that's something Torrey Wilson was. People have asked me, and people on this podcast who've listened have heard me complain about other people getting inducted. I've never been a fan of Coco Beware going in. I was not a fan of Hillbilly Jim going in. I thought the Bushwhackers going in was fine, but I thought they should not have gone in before teams like the Midnight Express, the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, and teams like that. However, I'm going to say that I think at some point Torrey Wilson would have gone in anyways. So this is just like robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're getting her out of the way now so you don't have to worry about putting her in later. So I'm not going to say she's the best wrestler. I'm not going to say she's got the best matches or she was anything like that. But she, at her period of wrestling history, was very influential and very important. So for that reason alone, I think she gets into the Hall of Fame. There's an injury to one of the NXT call-ups. You may have noticed that Ciampa and Gargano have not been seen much. It's because Gargano is fine, but Ciampa is hurt. And it's really weird that they have like their own feud going on in NXT. Ciampa's been pulled from all the NXT house shows, all the Raw and SmackDown shows. They really need to keep him on the up and up heading into NXT TakeOver before WrestleMania, where I expect he and Gargano are going to tear the house down and match of the year quality match. So they don't want to take any chances with him being rushed to call up just so he can get hurt. It's kind of scary that he got hurt anyways. WWE's dealing with a lot of this injury bug lately, and it's really a shame because some of their best stars are just unable to compete on television. It's something they really need. You know, when you got to resort to Batista being a main draw for you on the Ric Flair birthday edition, I understand that was planned long ahead, but that's not the point. The point is you shouldn't have to rely on these part-time or once-in-a-lifetime stars coming back to be the bones of your program, and that's really what we've got right now. You've got a returning Roman Reigns, so you're playing off of his leukemia angle for a big pop. You've got the Ronda Rousey mainstream media attention trying to pull attention to the women's division. After that, it's Batista right now. Even Daniel Bryan, who I think has one of the greatest characters he's ever played and in the business today, isn't exciting right now because of the way they're booking things. Kofi Kingston, he's over his all get up. I know people are complaining about Kofi not getting his championship match at Fastlane. It's for a great reason. I saw people put all kinds of hate on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all that about, oh, Vince McMahon and the way he treats certain types of wrestlers. Look, he's being pulled from Fastlane so he can main event WrestleMania or get a world championship match, WWE championship match at WrestleMania. I think that's exactly where they're looking to go. I think Vince figured out how popular Kofi is. And in all honesty, he darn sure better win that championship at Mania or you're going to have a virtual coup on your hands. People want Kofi Kingston to get that win. He's earned it. He's been there long enough. But please don't give me the sob story about how Kofi's getting ripped off and all this other stuff because it's not. It's an angle to set up Mania, and that's what you should want, is Kofi to get an even bigger stage than Fastlane. Who cares if he wrestles at Fastlane and loses? I want him at WrestleMania and I want him to win. That's what you should be looking for. Somebody we got to keep looking for is somebody who's been missing in action, Alicia Fox, not backstage for Raw the last 2 weeks. And the word is she's the reason Arn Anderson was let go. And it's because she showed up intoxicated to Raw the 1 week and Arn Anderson, or I'm sorry, not at Raw, at a house show. And Arn Anderson had suspected she was intoxicated, but allowed her to perform anyways, which Vince McMahon considered to be like the last straw. Like, you can't tolerate this kind of stuff. And that was what led to Arn Anderson getting fired. Now, Alicia Fox has gone on Twitter and makes it sound like she doesn't care at all. She said, "Give no fox given or something like that. She really seems to not care. Now, if she's looking to get out of her contract and go somewhere else because she doesn't like the booking of her character, so be it. Go for it. She's never enamored me as being a phenomenal female talent to begin with. They haven't used her worth a darn, and she pretty much, if she is being used, she botches so much stuff. She's almost like a Bella twin lately. Like, they botch everything. So just, if you're not going to use her, cut her loose. Let her go to All Elite or Impact or somewhere, Ring of Honor, Women of Honor. Let her go somewhere and try to resuscitate her career. But otherwise, this is just carrying dead weight. Let her go. Want to pass along some well wishes to Harley Race. It has been confirmed he does have cancer, but that is not terminal. Ric Flair was stating at his birthday bash and over the weekend at a interview session with Hulk Hogan that Harley Race was battling terminal lung cancer. Turns out he does have lung cancer, but it's not terminal. He's being treated for it. And we wish Harley Race nothing but well wishes and get well soon, because he is a all-time great in the business and someone who has contributed so much that we always want to see the best opportunity for people like that. Jason Jordan has a new role in WWE. He is now on the creative team and apparently asking for some pretty interesting stuff. He's gaining a reputation as being one of their better, more logical wrestling thinkers. And I think if he can't get in the ring, maximize his talents in whatever way he can. I know he's been learning how to be a producer and an agent, and now he's looking at the creative team. Hey, maybe he could parlay this into a very successful alternative career for a professional wrestler now that he still has lingering issues with his injury, trouble with grip strength and things like that. So he may never return to the ring again, but at least this way, he's still involved with the product. He's still doing something special, and that's awesome. WWE is giving him that opportunity. Somebody who's not getting a WWE opportunity anytime soon is Ty Dillinger, but he is taking independent bookings. He's going by the name Sean Spears, and he already is booked to face Moose in his first match. He is doing a great job of already setting himself up on the independent scene to really garner some attention, and I hope it turns into something bigger for him. I would not be surprised to see him show up in All Elite Wrestling. They need to stack that show, make it an absolute over-the-top presentation. But we'll have to see. But it's great to see he didn't waste any time. He's already getting out in the independent circuit and really getting himself out there. Somebody else who's going to be out there for a while, Rosemary, an Impact Wrestling knockout, re-signing with the company for another couple years. However, they're going to lose KM and Caleb Conley, who have left the promotion. Their contracts ran out March 1st. So a lot of transition in Impact Wrestling. They just re-signed Moose recently. We have other contracts coming due. I know Eli Drake's contract is coming due very soon in the next, 30 to 60 days. I'd love to see him go somewhere else, because I think they've wasted him in Impact Wrestling, gave him one championship run of any substance and then nothing. I think he would be very smart to go elsewhere. And then Impact Wrestling also in the news, because they're negotiating with Ohio Valley Wrestling, OVW, to add content to their Global Wrestling Network. If you've never checked out the Global Wrestling Network, it is actually a really great diverse network of independent companies and just talent from all over the world, as well as all the Impact Wrestling stuff. And I think if you're looking for an alternative product to WWE, it is a great place to look. Check that out. New Japan announced that the G1 Climax, the first night of the Climax tournament, will be live from Dallas, and you'll be able to see that on Access Television. Impact Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, really doing a great job of bringing their presence to North America and making it meaningful. This is the biggest tournament of the year for New Japan Pro Wrestling. The G1 Climax leads to a main event match at Wrestle Kingdom, and I can't wait to see what they do to make this Dallas debut for the G1 Climax Night 1 very special. Dana Warrior in the news this week. She has joined WWE's creative team. She apparently has some writing experience. She's done this before, some kind of I don't want to say soap opera writing, but she claims to have writing experience in dramatic presentation form. So it'll be curious to see what she does. She's supposed to come on board and help with the women's side of creative because they lost their head writer only a couple weeks ago. So we'll have to see where she goes from there. And then other news for the week, New Japan Pro Wrestling star Hiromu Takahashi hurt his neck horribly bad last year, Best of the Super Juniors tournament. He's going to be returning from injury very soon. Thankfully, he's okay. But in the end, very scary. If you go back and watch the match, you see that when he goes against Dragon Lee, takes a bump on the head that you almost thought he broke his neck instantaneously, could have been paralyzed. That's how bad the bump looked. But he is going to be coming back to the ring, and it should be sooner rather than later. Dean Ambrose, just a sidebar about him, he does have all of his references removed, with the exception of an April 22nd six-man match that I mentioned earlier. He's been removed from all the dates post-WrestleMania, so it looks like WWE is moving away from him. So if that supports the idea that he is not going to re-sign, his booking announcements seem to indicate that may be the case. Other news of the week, Madison Rayne left Ring of Honor, requested a release, was granted the release, then returned to Impact Wrestling in the same week, and even showed up at a taping for one of their One Night Only shows where she was wrestling. And, you know, for Madison Rayne, I was really hoping she'd go to WWE just once. A legitimate run with WWE. Of the three members of the Beautiful People, she was one of the ones I thought had real legit wrestling skill. I'm not knocking the others. I'm just saying I think she had the best in-ring skill, and I'd love to see what she could do in a WWE ring. She has history with Mickie James. You put her against Mickie James, you could have a solid match there and give them both something of substance to do. And who knows? Maybe WWE fans connect with her. We'll have to wait and see if that ever comes to fruition. But right now, back with Impact Wrestling. Bray Wyatt in the news this past week. Cage Side Seats was giving him a hard time about his cryptic tweets all the time and how he might be on his way out. And he was just lashing out, firing back at Cage Side Seat, calling him out. And I love it because Bray Wyatt, obviously there's a reason they're keeping him off television. It's kind of shocking that they bring Kevin Owens back but not Bray Wyatt. Maybe they just don't know what to do with him. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. I think there's a feud with Daniel Bryan on the horizon at some point. Makes a lot of sense, but definitely calling out Cage Side Seats, which I find humorous because they're just reporting the news the best way they can, and for some reason he took such offense to it. And of course, as many of you have heard today, the sad news of the passing of 61-year-old former WWE WrestleMania main eventer at WrestleMania 2, King Kong Bundy. An incredibly pleasant, nice guy. I mean, you can't ask for a better human being. I know on TV, these guys portray these like bigger-than-life bad guys, but the reality is King Kong Bundy as an individual was a great guy. He was a nice guy. He was one of the good ones. And even now, he was scheduled to be at a convention WrestleMania weekend, another convention a few weeks later in New Jersey. I mean, he was still trying to get out and see the fans, and that's a beautiful thing after all these years. And to hear of his passing, it's just sad. I saw memes all over Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and all that stuff about, you know, the Heenan family. All the members of the Heenan family are gone for the most part, and that's sad. You know, these are the people that I grew up as a child watching. Bundy, I'll never forget. One of my favorite matches, one that's really underappreciated. King Kong Bundy against Fritz Von Erich. Fritz Von Erich's last singles match for the world-class American Championship. Great match. Fritz wins. And Bundy had hair, which is really weird. Go back and check that out if you can. It's actually, you can see references to it in that Triumph and Tragedy of the World-Class Championship Wrestling special WWE did a few years ago. But really sad. Sad to see someone like Bundy go. Sad to see any of them go, but I guess that's just the way nature does it. This one, 61 seems like it's so old, but it's not. It's certainly not. Average life expectancy is much longer than that. Sad to see Bundy go. And I was actually looking forward. I was going to try to make it to that convention in April to see him in New Jersey, and I am not, unfortunately, going to be able to have that opportunity. So well wishes to the Bundy family, all the people who are mourning with such a great loss, and, you know, Godspeed. You know, he's in a better place. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, goes out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com. They produce all the music and sound effects that we use in our shows. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move, you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a moment with us tonight. We'll see you on Saturday night for our next live episode. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.